Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, it is the return of the Big Ragu, Matt Regacious. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, hello, Milwaukee. Good to be back with you guys.
Good to hear you, buddy. It's been too long. And I don't know if you saw this. Jeff and I were mentioned it when we let off the show. I thought IndyCar did a really cool thing this morning. They did a little parade down Main Street and Speedway with the drivers, kind of an impromptu thing. And then they actually broke off, and the drivers in their pace cars went to individual tickets, some of the individual longtime season ticket holders' houses to visit with them. Did you see that earlier today?
I did. I saw some of that. Matter of fact, I even saw something online of somebody kind of showing off the stuff that they got from their visit with Sage Karam, and thought that looked like, you know, IndyCar is always, for a long time now, done a great job with the longtime fans. And they're so good at making those connections. It's one of the things that the sport absolutely does right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. They definitely bring the history of the sport to the younger fans and make them appreciate it as well. Ragu, what was your general reaction when you found out that Penske bought Indy from the George family?
Well, it seemed, you know, I've always had that ingrained idea of Penske as the evil empire, sort of a Darth Vader-like figure who just has so much control already. So there was initially a thought of, you know, some trepidation, but at the same time, the name is synonymous with Indy, and the guy who clearly loves Indy, if you could take away the fact that, you know, the economics of the sport have allowed him a level of success, and the way that the sport has worked in the past, you know, it can make for sometimes, you know, you wish for a little better competitive balance, and that Penske doesn't allow. You remove that from your head and think about the fact that this is a guy who knows IndyCar and knows what's best for the sport. So you know, I quickly went from that trepidation to some excitement and thought, okay, well, let's see what he does here. Let's see what he's going to do. And so far, by everything I'm seeing, he's making improvements to the track. He's doing things right with the series. He's finding ways to make this work. And he's got a trial by fire, as we can see. I mean, this is, mm-hmm. you know, to have your first 500 – be in August and in this condition and in this kind of atmosphere, you know, it certainly, we didn't make it easy on Roger Penske in his first one here. But so far, yeah, I mean, we'll have to see how the final thing all goes down tomorrow. But I think we give him a big curve, too, just because of what we're going through.
Well, I think, is there anybody better, though, than him at this point? You know, I mean, there's a lot of criticism of the previous owners of the Speedway and the corporation and that. And I've always said, I you know, if this sale had not happened, there'd be an absolute panic on the top floor at 16th and Georgetown with the George family. But with Penske being in charge, I think he certainly brings a steady hand to the sport. And I think the most important thing about Penske is this is a guy who doesn't burn bridges. He's been able to work with every engine manufacturer, in fact, with multiple manufacturers at the same time. And I thought it was interesting with this pandemic and that, you know, for years we've been saying NASCAR and IndyCar really need to kind of pool their resources for the betterment of the sport, and we've actually seen a little bit of that so far this year. But not only that, but actually how they're handling how they're doing the races and the social distancing and how they're closing off the paddock and that. And I was just wondering what your reaction to that is so far.
Yeah, I'm going to use a two-word phrase that race car fans are maybe not familiar with, and I know NASCAR fans really have never heard, and that is forward thinking. Actually considering where the sport needs to be 5 years down the road, 10 years mm-hmm. down the road, and doing it now, it's just not something that you see in motorsports. It's not something you see in general, whereas you know, it's probably the one thing that has always held racing back is that, you know, and I get some of it. It's a tradition-based sport in a lot of ways, and people get very set in their ways and like things the way they are. And so whenever you're trying to do something to kind of revolutionize, to think ahead, there's going to be some pushback, but you know, IndyCar has done it here and they've done it right. And yeah, they're hitting the right note.
Yeah. And you look, I think that one of the criticisms, and we were certainly when we were together doing the show on that, one of our frustrations, especially with IndyCar, was it was like their marketing plan was, okay, what are we going to do this year? And it wasn't until the latest group took over IndyCar and Jay Fry and his group where they actually had, like what you mentioned, a five-year plan. There's a five-year plan in place. This is where they want to be. These are the venues they want to be. And they've been implementing it, and you're seeing it. You know, and especially now with the consolidated television package, I think that's a plus for them. And it'll be where do you think ratings are going to be? Is this going to be maybe actually a plus? Could the ratings be higher in August than they would have been possibly in May at this point?
Well, I guarantee they'll be higher here in Indianapolis.
Oh, that's true.
that's just the yeah. beauty of having the race on live instead of on Facebook. Yeah,
explain that for those who might not be familiar with the blackout in Indianapolis.
Yeah, so Indianapolis, for Central Indiana in general, those who get Indianapolis TV, the race has always been on tape delay. It has never been on live. It's a blackout live because, you know, they say, well, you need to fill the stadium, you need to fill the track to get or to have a live race, and you literally can't fill the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. You can always fit somebody else into the infield, and so it's kind of this, you know, backwards joke that, oh well, yeah, maybe this year it'll be a sellout, quote unquote, and we can have this race live. Of course, it never is. It was for the 100th a few years ago. They did that, I think, kind of as a bend the right ears and get that to change in Indianapolis, because what it does is it hurts two groups of people. It hurts older fans who have paid their dues, who have gone to the race year in, year out, and now. It's the Indy 500 is a day, and it's not easy, you know, if you're getting up there in age to go out there. If it's 100 degrees, it's a long day. It's just easier probably to watch it at home. And then also little kids. I mean, my oldest son is finally getting close to the age he likes IndyCar. We watch on TV. But if he can't watch the races at home when he's not old enough to go to the track, it's going to make it that much harder to talk him into wanting to go to the track when he is old enough. And so, yeah, it's an outdated principle, and it's one that needs to go. But yeah, to answer your first question, I do think ratings will be nice. I mean, people need stuff to do. They need stuff to watch. Sports is, you know, seems to be, you know, now that we're sort of easing our way back into things, we're doing fairly well with that. And the Indy 500 is still an event, and it's still, you know, we've managed to create a curiosity around it, I think, by having it at this strange time of year. So I look forward to seeing that too and seeing where those ratings are. But I don't think they'll be better necessarily than May, but I think they'll still be good.
Yeah, they're going to have challenges with the wall-to-wall basketball playoffs, you know, that tip off at noon and go till 10 o'clock when in previous years they only had to, you know, there was only a couple games at night. So, you know, it's going to be it's going to be a little bit more choices for people on TV, but like you said, hopefully everybody tunes in and the numbers are through the roof.
Question for Matt. Have you seen Danica's arms?
No, I have not.
They're huge. And I'm wondering if that was maybe reason why they're huge, because she, you know, she does yoga and she's always doing these sit-ups and push-ups and whatnot. And I'm wondering if maybe the reason why her and Rogers broke up is that Rogers is a little jealous of her arms. I think they actually might be bigger than his at this point.
Oh, stop. Let those kids be. They've been doing enough.
But Danica, you know, Danica's back. Mike Tirico, who I really like and I think is underutilized in sports media, is hosting. And I'd love to see more of Mike Tirico. And but you know, Danica is back on. Does that help give it a big event vibe, do you think?
I don't know that Danica is the draw she once was. I think, you know, I don't think there's going to be people tuning in specifically because Danica is on. I think there may be some people who tune in who didn't know she was going to be on and go, oh, well, that's cool. I liked her. She was. I remember when she was racing Indy cars, and I don't think that makes a huge difference at this point. I do think that you know, NBC's coverage in general, they do the series well, and that's, you know, that's the best thing they have going. You know, personalities or not, you know, and I agree with you on Tirico. He does a good job with pretty much everything, but just their general package has been really, really sharp, and it's getting better every year. So I am excited to see the race there.
Why can't they transfer that over to NASCAR? Because NBC's coverage of NASCAR is god awful.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with you on that. Actually, it, that's a good question, and I guess that probably is something that comes from the top and comes from, you know, those making the decisions within the sports. I'm sure, you know, no network gets to make every decision on how they cover things without the input of the sport they're covering. And so, you know, I look at NBC and say they do a great job on IndyCar. They do a really great job on NHL hockey. They have for a long time. They do a good job on pretty much everything they cover except NASCAR. And if that's the case, you know, you look at it and you go, well, all right, if everybody else is okay and this one's not, it's probably not NBC's fault.
I think I agree with you because NASCAR loves to control everything.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So it's just kind of, you know, it's kind of frustrating when you see a situation like that. Well, what's the latest with speaking with Matt Regacius, of course, who now lives in the metro Indianapolis area. What's for the listeners? What's the latest with Matt? How are you doing down there?
You know, we're good. We've been really super locked in here at home. We've been keeping the whole social distancing thing very seriously. So yeah, I've been I'm a little bit used to these walls of this house at this point, but that's all right. There's always stuff to watch. You know, there's like every Indy 500 that was ever run is on YouTube. You can go on back and watch the 92 Indy 500. Watch Little Al. Go back and watch, you know, the Spin and Win. They're all there. That's an afternoon. That's, you know, it's keep busy in a lockdown. It's not that tough. But yeah, we're good. We're just sort of, you know, in that same holding pattern as everybody else, and I've you know, doing my best to become a first grade teacher and a preschool teacher for my two boys right now, and help these regular teachers along as much as they can doing the online schooling stuff. But it's always an adventure, that's for sure. It is what it is.
Well, if you're opening your own school, I got three that I'll ship down to you, and you.
Oh, you know, I think I just hit my my enrollment level. I'm all locked up. I'm so sorry. Maybe next year.
Darn.
Very good. Well, Matt, we certainly appreciate you taking time out. Who do you like this tomorrow in the race? Who's your favorite?
I love this field. Let me just say that it's such a cool field that you've got what, eight former winners. And then you've got some great young drivers who are coming to the road, and a great class of rookies. I think I'm really thinking Scott Dixon, as good as he's been all year. He is the guy to beat here. I know sentimentally you think Marco, and wouldn't it make sense for an Andretti to win on a race where there aren't any fans? Like that would be the most twisted Andretti thing to happen. You finally win one again, and there's no one there to celebrate. But I think Scott Dixon's going to be the guy to beat here. And then, you know, if it is going to be one of the young guys, if it is going to be a rookie, I think, you know, I really like Ryan Ezeke. I think he is a guy who, if he doesn't win it this year, he's going to get one at some point. So I think that's a name to look for from the younger guys, maybe a dark horse. And to put one more name out there, I'll never, ever sleep on Alexander Rossi in Indianapolis.
Okay, very good. I like that. Three very good picks. Matt, we certainly appreciate it and look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.